Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to the Power of an Unstoppable Woman with Dr. Rose Backman. Our program is for women who want to break free from the beliefs that cause sabotage. It's time to create the lives that you deserve. If you don't deal with your emotions will deal with you. It's time to move into your power zone and out of your comfort zone. Now, here is your host, Dr. Rose Backman.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Power of an Unstoppable Woman. We have today one of the most unstoppable women in America. Let me rephrase that. Maybe one of the most unstoppable women in the world, who today is going to share empowering life lessons that she's learned from her career, because what she does is she fights on the front line, on the front lines for victims' rights. She is a super lawyer that has represented clients from the celebrity trials of O.J. Simpson, Scott Peterson, Hunter Tilo, and Tommy Lee. Now, this woman will fight for you to the end of time because her passion is all about showing you the power you have to stand up for who you are and what you believe in. Welcome, Gloria Allred.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it, and I'm excited, and I love the theme of your show, Dr. Rose Backman.
Thank you. So did you just come out of the womb this way with all this power inside of you? This is your blessed personality?
Well, once I saw how much injustice there was against women and minorities, I just realized that I had to do something about it. Because I learned in college how to make a moral choice, and that is if you have the opportunity to act, you have the ability to act, and you have the desire to act, then it really is the only moral choice you can make. And so I do have the opportunity to fight against injustice. I have the ability because I know how to do it, and I have the desire because I want the world to be better for my clients, for their daughters, for their mothers, for their sisters, for their aunts, and for everybody in their family. So that's, I have this burning passion for justice, and it's exciting to me to help to empower my clients so that they can know that they have more strength and courage to fight to win justice than maybe they ever recognized they had.
Well, what brought you to having this desire to be a lawyer? What circumstances occurred that you said, I can't sit back and do nothing?
Well, it wasn't so much to be a lawyer as to, find a way to help others. And, of course, because of my own life experiences, it made me the person that I am today because I've never had a women's rights class in school. I've never had a class in, discrimination against those people because of their sexual orientation or because of their condition of AIDS or because of their race. It was just my life experience that helped me to understand all this. For example, when I was young and I was a single mom, I had problems collecting court-ordered child support, and I thought maybe that was just me. Years later, I found out that millions of women have that problem. It's number one reason they're on welfare, aid to families with dependent children, and they don't want to be there, but the system is not effective in helping mothers collect their court-ordered child support on time or in the amount that is ordered. Also, then I was also a survivor of a rape. And, of course, I didn't realize at the time what a big problem violence against women really is. And, later I decided, I have to take this lemon and turn it into lemonade to help others. also, of course, I was discriminated against on my first job at Kimball Brothers Department Store, where I earned less than a man when I was an assistant buyer there straight out of college. And I was told that the reason was, well, he probably had a family, and I didn't, when the truth was I was a single mom supporting a child of my own at the time, and the guy that earned more was a bachelor, and wasn't even married. So those kinds of sex stereotypical assumptions definitely had an impact on me.
So for you, right now, do you think that you will ever retire because of this passion you have so deep that's woven inside of you?
Rose, nobody who knows me thinks that I will ever retire.
I believe that.
I don't even take a vacation, let alone retire. I'm working all the time. I'm working nights. I'm working holidays. I'm working weekends. I'm working during the week. I'm traveling around right now. I'm doing this interview from New York. Although I'm based in Los Angeles, I also have some cases in New York and in Los Angeles and New Jersey and Florida, and I co-counsel in those states with other lawyers. So, no, I'm not interested in retiring. I'm interested in using this gift of life, and every day is a gift, to do what I can to help others and to empower them and to help to win their rights.
Well, this is what I love about you, is that you truly believe that power resides within absolutely everyone. They just have to use it, and they have to learn how to tap into their own strength. And a lot of women just sit back, and they do become victims.
Well, a lot of women just don't know how to channel their power, how to marshal it, how to make the best of it. So, in other words, many of them have a lot of anger and a lot of rage and a lot of disappointment about what they have suffered in their lives. And sometimes they take that anger and rage, they turn it inward. So they'll take tranquilizers. They'll turn to alcohol. They turn to narcotics. All of that is rage channeled inward. Or they'll scapegoat those around them, make those around them unhappy because they're unhappy. That's taking that energy and using it in a negative, self-destructive way. What I advocate is turning it outward into some positive, constructive action. And there is something that everybody can do about injustice. This is not to say that I say that every battle should be fought. You have to choose your battles and choose them wisely. But there are ways to channel that anger and rage into something positive for yourself and for others. And in my book, Fight Back and Win, my 30-year fight against injustice and how you can win your own battles, I talk about some of the ways that each person can make a difference for themselves and their community.
Well, I love that, and I'm sure that women are running out to buy that book. And what you're doing, too, at another level, is you're teaching women to pull themselves out of that negativity and out of that thought process of destruction. You've got the power and the ability to stand beside them and say, enough, I like your statement, enough. Enough is enough. Don't tolerate any type of situation of discrimination, not even for a single day or not even for a single minute.
Right, and I don't blame them for, the turning it inward, trying to escape the pain of what they've suffered. I understand that. Nobody has helped them to understand what other options they have.
Yes.
And so they do have options, but helping them to know is important. And, of course, the wrongdoers, the perpetrators of the wrongs, they don't particularly want women to know that there's something they can do about it because they benefit from the silence. They benefit from the fear that they place the victim in. And fear is the best weapon they can use against women when batterers, beat up their wives or their significant others. The fear of the woman that she doesn't have an option to fight back, or she thinks she doesn't, even though she does, is something that they use to their advantage. But we want to empower the victim and help there to be justice against the wrongdoers who've made them suffer.
Now, you've had tough times in your life. You've chosen not to be a victim. You were raised in the Philadelphia Row House, and you state that that's never far from your thoughts or in your heart. So tell us about your background of being raised there.
I grew up in a little row house in Philadelphia. My parents had an eighth grade education. We never had a car. I attended public schools. My father would put out just enough money for me to buy lunch every day and just enough money for my mother to buy groceries for that day. He was a door-to-door salesman, so we never really had any money. But the good thing was we had each other. My father worked hard. He worked, you know, he worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and on the seventh he prepared for the next six. So I grew up with someone who was always working hard, and maybe he was my role model. And my mother, even though she only had an eighth grade education and was a homemaker, always wanted something more, and she was probably the best read person I've ever met. I mean, she would read widely in religion and politics and just all kinds of interesting areas. She had that natural curiosity. And so I had great parents, and I was very fortunate to be part of a community that on my street, other little girls and the mothers who looked out, we all looked out for each other. And then I went to the Philadelphia High School for Girls, which was an all public, all academic high school. And that was very important in my future plans.
So your mother was a mentor for you at some level. So was your father. They taught you very strong values. They taught you how to survive. And right now, who are some of the top mentors in your life?
Well, you know, I don't know that I particularly have a mentor anymore. I had a mentor when I was growing up also that I had, I called her my aunt, but she was actually kind of a second cousin or a first cousin once removed. And she was the first woman pediatrician at the Children's Heart Hospital in Philadelphia. And she, growing up, she was the only woman I know who didn't cook and didn't care and wasn't married. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And she always encouraged me to be the best that I could be. But now, I wouldn't say that I have a mentor now, but I would say that I'm constantly inspired every day by the courage of my clients, because it does take a great deal of courage to fight against the rich, the powerful, the famous, big government, corporations, institutions, small businesses, those who have hurt them. And besides, you know, sometimes often going through the trauma of being hurt, then for them to find the courage to then proceed, you know, to work through asserting their legal rights, you know, that takes a lot. So I would say they're the ones who constantly inspire me.
Well, women all over North America, everybody's heard of you. Everybody looks, I look at you and I go, wow, she always looks so perfect. She's always wearing these fabulous suits. She looks young. She's always on. How do you do that?
Well, you know, I hope that I dress in a business-like manner, because I have a responsibility. I'm representing my clients, and, you know, I'm there to take care of business for them. So I feel that's part of what I do, and, you know, I take my duty to them very seriously. I'm here in New York, for example, today. You know, I have a meeting with clients, and then with someone else for the clients, another attorney. And so, you know, I realize that that I have to dress appropriately. It just kind of goes with the territory.
Well, of course it does. And there's it's like that whole package of you. Your energy resonates strength. Your energy resonates that I'm here to stand beside you and I'm here to support you. And if anybody gets in the way or anything gets in the way, we're prepared. Don't worry. I'm going to hold your hand. I love that energy about you. That's exactly what you portray.
Well, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. I am a strong advocate. I am, you know, I take my duty to my clients very seriously, and you're right. If anybody gets in their face, or then I take that as being in my face, and I'm going to deal with it. And I'm going to deal with it in a planned manner and in a strategic manner, and in a way that hopefully protects the best interests of my clients. So, yes, I'm known for being very strong and make no apologies for that. If I'm representing them, I've made an assessment that they have been wronged, and it's time to make that situation right.
Thank you so much. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. We are talking to the most wonderful lady, Gloria Allred, the woman who stands up for justice. Stay with us. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Backman. I'm a natural doctor, kinesiologist, and speaker who works with the physical and emotional issues of the body, such as money, weight, and relationship issues. I'm asking you to watch your words. They become your thoughts. Are you willing to change? Trust yourself. You already know all of your own answers. Stand up for who you are and what you believe in, no matter what. If this resonates with you, give me a call. I'm waiting to hear from you.
Do you ever ask yourself,
why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What do I do next?
Life energies are based on the chakras, and this is the foundation of holistic healing. Find the balance in your life by tuning in to Healing Possibilities with your host, Tracy Makarenko. Through engaging guests and Tracy's spiritual guidance, each week we'll explore a different modality of healing designed to help you find peace and wholeness. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Do you ever stop and wonder if there's more to life than what you are experiencing? Do you feel like you deserve to live that life? Of course you should. Tune in to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. Through Regina's life experiences and her guest experts, you can put yourself on the path to holistic self-discovery and the life that you were born to lead. Shining Bright with Regina Sisko is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
Tuned in to the Power of an Unstoppable Woman. To reach Dr. Rose Backman or her guest, please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to rose@drrosebackman.com. That's rose@drrosebackman.com. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We have Gloria Allred, this beautiful super lawyer who has represented many clients from the celebrity trials of O.J. Simpson, Scott Peterson, Hunter Tilo, and Tommy Lee. She's with us, and we're going to get down and a little bit personal with her. And Gloria, I know that you have not been like any other woman out there. You are very rare, and you see yourself, I'm sure, as a very brave woman standing up for the individual rights as a woman. So for you, do you have time to allow yourself to have a relationship?
Good question. Thanks for asking it. By the way, I didn't represent Tommy Lee, but I did represent a victim of Tommy Lee.
Thank you.
So now, do I have time for a relationship? I have lots of relationships. I have relationships with my clients, business relationships. I have family relationships. I have a wonderful daughter who's also an attorney. I have a granddaughter with whom I'm very close, and she's in her first year of law school, so we're going to have three generations of women lawyers. I have a grandson who's a senior in college. Then, I have social relationships. But do I have an intimate partner relationship, which I think is the gist of your question?
Yes.
I don't, nor do I wish to. I say I'm married to my computer. And to my clients in a way, because I'm, you know, always trying to be protective of them. And that's what I want. This is the chapter in my life where this is what I want. I'm very, very happy. I've been married twice, so that's enough for me. I've had a long marriage. A lot of it was good. Some of it was not. And really, I feel that at this point in my life and for many years, because I've been single now for, let's say, more than 25 years. This is what I want to do with the rest of my life. And there's so many women in need, so many minorities who need help. I get contacted from all over the country. And by the way, anybody who wants to contact me can just go to GloriaAllred.com and they'll find out how to contact me. And I'm also listed in Los Angeles for my telephone number. But this is what I want to do. I really would rather help many people than, frankly, just be invested with the responsibility and also the joy of being in a relationship with one person.
So you're telling me there isn't one man out there that could get you to go out to a dinner on a Saturday night?
Not really. Well, you know, I mean, of course, there are men in my life. I have wonderful partners. I've had the same two founding partners, Michael Morocco and Nathan Goldberg. We've been together for 37 years. And then we have others in our firm, other male attorneys in our firm as well. You know, occasionally on a social relationship basis, I'll, you know, have dinner with somebody. But really, it's not to develop any kind of dating relationship or, you know, or romantic relationship at all. I not only I'm not looking for that, I do not, I am committed to not doing that. Because I really think of my time every day as a precious bank account. There's only so much time left. I don't really know how much time, none of us do, in our lives. I want to make use of it every moment to help as many people as I can. Hopefully those people that I help will help others, and those will help others, so it'll have a ripple effect. Because the goal is to win equal rights for all and to help to empower others to seek justice and to vindicate, you know, to assert their rights, to vindicate their rights, either in a court of law or outside of a court of law. And that really takes a huge commitment of time, and I love what I do, so I'm happy to do it. It's not a big sacrifice not to have a romantic relationship. It's actually no sacrifice at all. Been there, done that.
Don't you love it? So tell us about your daughter.
My daughter,
you have one child,
her name is
correct?
Lisa Bloom,
mm-hmm.
And she's a best-selling author, and she also has, she started her own law practice now in Los Angeles. She used to be in a law firm with me for many years, and I'm very proud of her because she understands her responsibility to herself, to her family, and to her community, and that's really what it's all about. As I tell my granddaughter, Sarah Bloom, who's, by the way, going to school here in New York, and I'm going to be having lunch with her tomorrow, so we have a close relationship as well. You know, you have, when you're a privileged person, you have a duty to help others. And if you're able to go to law school or you become an attorney, that's a relatively privileged position to be in for a woman. When you think about the condition and the status and the very difficult challenges women all over the world face, you're a privileged person. So you have a duty to give back. You don't have a duty just to enrich yourself. You have a duty to really help others and to help them to rise up, to improve the condition and status of women, to help to bring them into the mainstream of American life in equal partnership with men. So she understands that duty, and I'm hoping and expecting great things from her, and she knows that.
So what I'm hearing you say is my fun is made up of connecting with my family, connecting with my clients. I'm married to my computer. I'm married to my clients to some degree, and it's not fair to have a relationship right now. Number one, you don't want one. And number two, you wouldn't have the time to commit. So you're so thrilled doing what you're doing. It's fun. What you're doing is fun. That is your fun.
It's a conscious decision about priorities. I wouldn't have the time because I wouldn't make the time, because I'd rather invest that time in helping those in need. And there are so many in need that even if I devoted every second, which I do as much as I can, I couldn't help everybody. So I'm going to, you know, I take it seriously.
So your beautiful daughter, Lisa,
a client in the case, I'm there. And I'm going to, you know, take my responsibility seriously. So, yes, I'm not, that's not something on my list, on my agenda, is to have a relationship, because it will take away from the time that I would have to devote to helping my clients.
Well, this is fabulous. You know your boundaries. So your beautiful daughter, Lisa Bloom, you love her so much because she's like you. She's a mini you.
Well, in some ways, but, you know, she is her own person, and that's what we have to understand about our children and our grandchildren, that, yes, we're very much alike in many ways. I call her the new and improved version, which I think we all each hope that our children, well, that our children will be. You know, that they'll learn and that, you know, of course they have to make their own mistakes, but we hope they won't be the same mistakes we've made. And we hope they'll learn from the positive steps that we have made in life. She's always studied hard, but she's also, you know, always maintained contact. And I mean, we just had dinner on Sunday night. We try to get together at least once a week. We're emailing, we're calling. So, I'm very fortunate to have, that as a family relationship. And I would say to everyone, I'm sure you said it in, on your show, Dr. Rose, that, you know, having a very good support team is extremely important. And I always tell people, you're as strong as the strongest links in your chain, and you're as weak as the weakest links. So you need to have a supportive, you know, group around you or in your life, family, friends, whether they're neighbors, whether they're coworkers, whatever, or, you know, and or a significant partner. That's really important to really evaluate who your support team is and whose support team you're part of. And ask yourself, is that a good thing for you, or is that something that's really going to bring you down or is bringing you down?
I hear you. I want to ask you this question. What is your biggest regret in your life?
Actually, I don't have any regrets. I mean, not to say that if I thought about
wow.
it, I probably couldn't find something, but I'm actually very positive oriented. I don't think about that. I, you know, I've made the best judgments I can make. I'm not a perfect person. I'm sure there's some, that could have been done some differently. But I feel overall, you know, I really think about the choices I'm making. I'm careful about them. And I just do the best that I can. And it's not a perfect world. I'm not a perfect person. But I'm blessed to have a great support team, as I say, in my office. We have 11 attorneys in my team. And we make many of the decisions together.
So what I hear is that you have huge gratefulness for the people that are in your life, for your coworkers, for your partners. You're walking a life of gratefulness.
I that's very true. And also, you know, I believe that I have to live my values, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, as they
Absolutely.
Say. So I make a conscious decision to live my values. To, you know, I do feel that my clients have a great deal of trust in me, which I work hard to earn their trust. And, you know, I think acting ethically and with integrity matters and is important. There are a lot of high-profile attorneys who have made the mistake of, you know, walking over the ethical line, doing things that are not ethical, taking that kind of risk, not doing the right thing. Putting themselves first instead of their clients first, and we have a duty to keep put our clients first. And then, you know, suddenly the trap door opens and they fall into the black hole, and there are very serious consequences for them not acting ethically. I think my partners
Absolutely.
And I have always done everything we can to make sure that we are acting ethically. And we know that both in the short term and the long term, that's our duty. It's our moral duty. That's the duty we have under the law. And that's the kind of decision-making and action that's going to keep us practicing law, hopefully, for the rest of our lives, not just for the 37 years we've been practicing.
Well, isn't this amazing, though? You've been together for that length of time, so your values are all on the same level. It's
yes,
very, very
you really
uncommon.
You really know who, who the people are when, you, when
yes.
you're with each other that long. I see the decisions they make. I see why they make the decisions they make. I see how they, you know, how they conduct themselves with our clients, the decisions they make behind the scenes where no one else will ever know except, you know, myself as a partner. And I just have the greatest respect for them. And again, I feel very blessed that, that they decided to come into practice with me, when I invited them and urged them to do so right after law school.
Can I ask you how How old were you when you became a lawyer?
I was actually in my 30s.
So I
was a teacher first, teaching in Watts, teaching at, well, actually teaching in Philadelphia at an all-African-American high school in Philadelphia, African-American all-boys high school in Philadelphia, Ben Franklin High School. Then I moved to Watts in the 60s, 1 year after the Watts riots or rebellion, depending on your point of view, how you wish to characterize it. Taught in Watts. Then I became a labor organizer, the first female staff person of the Los Angeles Teachers Association, which ultimately became the teachers union. And at some point I took my master's degree. I earned my master's degree and earned a credential. Well, I earned a master's degree from NYU, and then I earned a credential to be a high school principal, secondary school supervision credential. But then I decided to go to law school. And so I was in my 30s, and at this point I'm 71. And loving every minute, and I always say fighting injustice is very good for the health. So I'm blessed with good health, and I get up every day and just want to fight the good fight and win for my clients. And we've won just in the last 10 years alone over $250 million for our clients who've had the courage to fight back.
You stand beside them. They stand beside you. Everyone, stay with us. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. We've got the fabulous Gloria Allred with us. We're going to come back and talk about her book, Fight Back and Win. See you in 2 minutes.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Backman. I'm a natural doctor, kinesiologist, and speaker who works with the physical and emotional issues of the body, such as money, weight, and relationship issues. I'm asking you to watch your words. They become your thoughts. Are you willing to change? Trust yourself. You already know all of your own answers. Stand up for who you are and what you believe in, no matter what. If this resonates with you, give me a call. I'm waiting to hear from you.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
2012 is not to be viewed as a year of doom and gloom. It's merely the beginning of the rest of your life. Our planet is getting ready for this macro shift, and to be fully prepared, you need to make some changes to restore the balance in life. Tune in to Create Your Best Life Ever. What else is possible? With your host, Allison J.K. Every program has a unique roster of guests, healings, and your contributions to help you master this shift through holistic living. Be sure to listen every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Are tuned in to the power of an unstoppable woman. To reach Dr. Rose Backman or her guest, please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to rose@drrosebackman.com. That's rose@drrosebackman.com. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Our guest today is Gloria Allred, and we're going to talk about her book, Fight Back and Win. This is a new book that just came out this year. And tell us, can you share some of the empowering life lessons that you've learned from your career with the audience?
Actually, the book didn't just come out this year. It's been out for a number of years, but I think it was 2006. But I'm appreciative of your mentioning it, and I think those who read it feel very empowered as well. The theme of the book is you must be the change that you wish to see in the world, which is a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. And that really is what I believe, that each one of us must be and is the change that we wish to see in the world. And every day when we get up, you know, we are reflecting our values. And as I say at the end of my book, I'm a lawyer, but you don't have to be one to help win change. At Rosa Parks' funeral on November 2nd, 2005, then United States Senator Barack Obama reminded us that Ms. Parks had, quote, held no public office. She wasn't a wealthy woman. She didn't appear in the society pages. And yet, when the history of this country is written, it is this small, quiet woman whose name will be remembered long after the names of senators and presidents have been forgotten, end quote. And that's because she was, as Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm called her, quote, an heroic warrior for equality, end quote. So I say that you, too, can be an heroic warrior for equality, even if you're not rich or famous, that you, too, can make the choice to make a difference. And then United States Senator, now Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, reminded us that we too can have what she called a Rosa Parks moment. So I urge everyone to have a Rosa Parks moment every day to challenge yourself, to challenge others, to stand up for what is right. That's the theme of my book.
Well, I love this part, the message from you that says, to victims of domestic violence, I say, think of yourself as strong, not weak. Remember the words of Eleanor Roosevelt. Women are like tea bags. They never know how strong they are until they get into hot water.
Yes,
I love that.
Isn't that a great quote?
Love it.
Everybody can identify with that because everybody is going to be in hot water at some point in their life. And so that's when they realize that, you know what, there is something they can do. And even though they thought, well, gee, they could never do anything about anything, somehow they rise, most often will rise to the occasion when they're in hot water and do what they can, to get out of it. And I think the first step is always to find out what your options are, what are the benefits, what are the risks of each option, and then proceed to choose an option, because doing nothing is also a decision.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what case has been the toughest on you emotionally in your career?
You know, I wouldn't say any of them are tough emotionally because, I mean, I do emotionally get, you know, feel for my clients and I do get involved. But, you know, I realize that I need to always keep a cool head so that I can make good decisions and make good recommendations to my clients and be strategic and take the next move that is necessary. So I would say, no, I wouldn't say any of them have been tough emotionally. It's tough, you know, to have to go through a long process. You know, I fought for 23 years against the Archdiocese of Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles. We had one of the first priest sex abuse cases where a client, Rita Mia, was sexually abused by 7 Catholic priests and had a baby by one of them. So I fought the church for 23 years. Ultimately, we were successful in winning a settlement, a very good settlement for our client, and proving that, in fact, one of the priests was the father of her child. Even though they had, you know, kind of disappeared suddenly on the day of our news conference and filing of the lawsuit and kind of went into hiding, we were successful in tracking down at least 2 of the priests. And one of them, we proved, was the father. We established paternity. And the other case, I was able to persuade him to come to my office and do a public apology to my client for, getting her involved, helping to victimize her, not only himself, but the other priests as well, bringing them into it.
Yeah, there's so much of that now. You know, it's overwhelming for people. They need to be told. They need to be smacked hard by people like you that say you don't have a right to abuse anybody.
Well, that's right. And this was, we're always kind of on the forefront with issues bubbling up. I mean, before our case, I hadn't really heard of any other pre-sexual abuse cases in the 80s, early 80s, I think. And actually, my client, and she says this publicly, so I can say it. You know, that she'd gone to other attorneys and they said, oh, we can't fight the church. They're too strong. They're too powerful. We don't have the resources. And finally, a psychologist said to her, you know, you need to go to Gloria Allred because I think she'll be able to help you. And she doesn't care how big and powerful and well funded they are. If she believes that she can prove there was a wrong done to you, she'll do something about it. And that's what happened. She came to me and we did.
Now, you said you fought for 23 years.
That was my longest case. I had another case that we fought for 16 years, and we were also successful. And that was a case involving a person who disclosed that he was HIV positive and was denied a pedicure by Jessica's nail salon after they learned that. And we fought for 16 years, even after he died, and were successful in winning 2 legal precedents. And he wanted us to continue even after he passed away. But most of our cases now, because we have such a record of success, frankly, we have a lot of cases that we are able to settle confidentially even before and without filing a lawsuit. And nobody even knows except the clients and the opposing party and their attorneys that we have resolved the issue confidentially. So, and often that can happen very quickly, sometimes within a month of people coming to us, we can have this confidential settlement, and sometimes it takes longer, but, you know, in a relatively short period of time without the necessity of litigation.
Well, everybody knows you're not going to give up. You're going to fight to the better end.
That's
so
true. I'm a true believer. I believe in justice for my clients.
And they know. They know your reputation, so they're making a logical decision. This can be a win-win without costing millions of dollars. And as you said, the truth is the truth. When we've done something wrong, we have to admit it and just move on. We have to learn from our lessons in life. Don't you agree?
I do. I think we can learn from everything. And sometimes when something terrible happens, we don't know why. I mean, we can't imagine. We say, you know, we've been good people. Why does this bad thing happen to me? Well, you know what? The least maybe we'll never figure that out. But maybe later the purpose will emerge in the sense that we will learn something from it to help ourselves or to help others or to become stronger. And so that's something that maybe you can't see at the time, like I couldn't see, you know, when I was a rape victim, but, you know, at gunpoint. But later, you know, it emerged to me. Now I understand. I have, more of an understanding for other survivors of violence and more of a commitment to stop it and, you know, to win justice either in the criminal justice system or the civil justice system or both against those who perpetrate the violence, to help victims. So, again, that's, you know, understanding that, you know, maybe there was a purpose, maybe there was something I can learn from this to help others and so that this doesn't happen to our daughters.
Yes, it's all about protecting our daughters, protecting our children.
Yeah,
and
something happened to me when I was had to have an abortion when it was illegal, not for a woman to have it, but for a doctor to give it. And so this is one of the reasons, because I almost died from an illegal abortion because, you know, they couldn't have a licensed health care provider provide it pre-1973. And so I almost died. And so this is one of the reasons I'm such a strong advocate of safe, legal, available, affordable abortions for those who decide to exercise their legal right to choose, and why I'm so committed to making sure we continue to enjoy the legal right to choose.
Well, what I love about you is, you know, you just take on presidents, you take on corporations, politicians, celebrities, sexual predators. It doesn't seem to matter. You don't care what position they hold. You are relentless. It's like a dog with a bone.
You
don't give up.
All I care about is the typical person. And, you know, I'm not, I do what I believe is speak truth to power, as we say. And, you know, in journalism, there's an expression, but it also applies, I think, to what I do, and which is comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And that's really what I do.
Love it. Wow. So, my dear, tell us a little bit. We've got 2 minutes till we have our next break. Tell us a little bit about the book, Fight Back and Win.
Well, Fight Back and Win has a lot of my famous cases in it. But the end, Rose, of each chapter, I have an empowerment lesson. In other words, what can you learn from that case that can help you in your life? Whether it's a case about fighting back against, batterers, rapists, sexual harassers, fathers who don't pay their child support or who want to fight the mothers for custody of their children, whether it's a woman who has been discriminated against economically by, you know, in having to pay more for dry cleaning or alterations or haircuts simply because they're female, whether they have to fight back at work to get a job as a police officer, or fighting back, against private clubs who discriminate, fighting back against celebrity bad boys, fighting back against predators of all kinds, sometimes against killers, against bigotry, and so all of this is there, and I also have a chapter at the end, what I've learned in the past 30 years can help you, which I hope, will help women, with a lot of practical advice that will help them in their lives.
Well, everybody needs to go out and get that book. So can you give them...
And you can order it from Amazon.com, Fight Back and Win, My 30-Year Fight Against Injustice, and How You Can Win Your Own Battles. And I do want it to help to empower women because, and also minorities, because I say that more than anything in the face of adversity and injustice, I want you to overcome your fear and be fearless, find your voice and not be voiceless, exert your power and not be powerless. I want you to be able to fight back and win justice for yourself and your children, your family and your community. And when you're feeling pessimistic or even hopeless, remember the words of Susan B. Anthony, failure is impossible. And that there's no defeat in standing up for what's right, fighting injustice. And the suffragist Carrie Chapman Catt once said, whenever a just cause reaches its flood tide, whatever stands in the way must fall before its overwhelming power. So I say, speak up, fight back, seek positive change. Others will follow your lead. And ultimately, you'll come out a winner.
Thank you so much, Gloria. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
Okay.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Backman. I'm a natural doctor, kinesiologist, and speaker who works with the physical and emotional issues of the body, such as money, weight, and relationship issues. I'm asking you to watch your words. They become your thoughts. Are you willing to change? Trust yourself. You already know all of your own answers. Stand up for who you are and what you believe in, no matter what. If this resonates with you, give me a call. I'm waiting to hear from you.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Leadership is a destination.
But how do you get there?
More importantly, how do you maximize your power and influence and develop more leaders in your organization? Learn from proven leaders and proven practices. Join Drs. Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler for Leadership Development News. This program will help you develop the next leaders in your organization, balance your work life, manage your boss, and
manage yourself.
We'll feature cutting-edge interviews with industry experts and authors. Leadership Development News, every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are tuned in to the power of an unstoppable woman. To reach Dr. Rose Backman or her guest, please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to rose@drrosebackman.com. That's rose@drrosebackman.com. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Power of an Unstoppable Woman. We have Gloria Allred, our guest, one of the United States' most powerful super lawyers that there is, who fights for justice for all women. And Gloria.
Yes.
You yourself have been a victim, and of course you're a survivor, and you're a very successful fighter for change. What is it that you would like to say to the listeners out there about some simple steps they can take to inspire themselves to stop the craziness that they're believing or living?
Well, yeah, again, sometimes, for example, with their partners in life, that is their romantic or intimate partners, they don't spend as much time kind of vetting their partners as they would if they were going to buy a new car. And yet your partner in life, you're really making a life and death decision. And, you know, this person can really hurt you financially, emotionally, physically, socially. So you really need to be very, very careful about the relationships that you're in. And pay attention if you're, you know, your instincts. Usually people reveal themselves, I say, in the first 3 months. But sometimes a lot of people will overlook the negative and just focus on the positive. Well, it's important to you know, really focus on the positive, but also don't overlook the negative and weigh that in. Because usually people say, you know, when the relationship's over, oh, I realize I had that hint early on, but I just ignored it. Well, you got to take it into account because this is very, could be very, very life-changing who you get involved with. So I think that that's one important decision. Also, in the workplace, we probably do more sexual harassment cases than any other private law firm in the nation with very good results. Now, you know, often, you know, if somebody is sexually harassing you and, you know, maybe, you know, I've had cases of, you know, women being propositioned in the workplace by their boss, being subjected to watch pornography, having their breasts grabbed, their rear ends groped, sometimes even raped. And this is a severe impediment to the enjoyment of equal employment opportunity and puts women in a no-win situation. If they say yes, then the boss may get tired of them after a while, and then they lose their job. If they say no, then the boss may go into ego shock, and then they, you know, sometimes get retaliated against and lose their job or lose their promotion or some other benefit or condition of employment. So know your rights. If you're not sure if it's sexual harassment or if you're not sure you want to do anything about it, still go to a lawyer, seek advice, and then see what your options are. Because knowledge is power, and you may decide there is something you can do about it so that you won't bear the cost of the sexual harassment. The wrongdoer will. And I think that's really important, and not only to help yourself, but could help others in the workplace in the future.
I think that a lot of people that are listening might have the thought, well, how can I ever afford to pay a lawyer for this? Where do they start when they don't have any money?
Well, that's a very good question. Now, there are a lot of lawyers like me who we generally do not charge anything at all for a consultation. And then plaintiff's lawyers like myself, if we take a case, most often it's on a contingency, which means that that only if we're successful do we get paid. If we're not successful, then the client does not owe us anything for a fee. And obviously we're going to make an assessment early on. Is this a case you want to take? Do we think we have a probability of success? But to your question, it won't cost them for a fee anyway to hire a lawyer. And sometimes even if they are in a different state and they need to pay for a consultation, it's well worth it just to get the advice. But as I say, often there are many lawyers who will provide that advice at no charge to see whether or not they can help you with the case, whether you have legal rights. But even if you can't find one in your area, if you think you've been discriminated against on the job, you can go to the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. You can find that listing in every state, or your state Fair Employment and Housing Commission, and you can generally file a charge of discrimination at no charge at all, and they will do an investigation, see if they can help you.
Well, this is wonderful information. I think most of us don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
We automatically assume we have to have thousands of dollars to give the lawyer up front.
No, and any good lawyer should also, once they take your case, before they take your case, they should give you the retainer agreement in writing so you know exactly what your financial obligation is and is not.
Okay, so this is all about beautiful Gloria Allred. I want to read some of the messages from her. And this is what I love about her statements, because I like the fact what we were talking to previously, and I want to make this statement that when people show you who they really are, believe them. Because she was talking about, you know, you've got about 3 months, and you're going to see what that person is that you're living with, what they're really like. Is that correct, Gloria?
Actually, that's very correct. I think that's true.
So, you know, she talks about believing in the power that resides within every one of you. And you have to find it, you have to use it, and learn how to tap into your strengths. She gave you information that if there is some form of discrimination in your life, you have to have the courage to pick up the phone and take a step. You cannot allow yourself to stay as a victim.
Well,
you're not
right.
Going to...
And people,
go ahead.
I've seen people evolve, and I myself have, from victim to survivor to fighter for change. And it's a beautiful thing. I've seen women come into my office, young women, middle-aged women, older women. Sometimes they come in with a little voice that's just like this, like a little girl voice. They've been very suppressed. But by the time they get their knowledge of their rights and decide to assert their rights, they come into it with a full adult female voice. And you know, we say the women's movement is unique in that it's the only movement in which the participants become more radical as they get older. And I think that's true, because the more life experiences women have, the more they're unwilling to put up with injustice, and the more they realize that it's wrong to have to suffer just simply because you were born female.
Absolutely. And I like what you stated about the conclusion of your book. You were talking about this statement. You said, more than anything, in the face of adversity and injustice, you want to overcome your fear and be fearless. Find your voice and not be voiceless. Exert your power and not be powerless. Everyone listening, those are magical words for you. These are Gloria's words, and this is at the conclusion of her book. This is about finding your voice and exerting your power. There's no excuse not to claim who you are, what you stand for, and what you believe in. Gloria, your
yes.
words are fabulous.
Thank you very, very much. And, you know, many of us are mothers, and we need to be the role models for our daughters. And the way we do that is not just in words, but also in deeds. And I
yes.
think stand up and show your power and show your strength and your courage, and that will be an inspiration to your daughter to do so as well.
Now, everyone, remember her words. Find your voice. Do not be voiceless. Overcome your fear, and you will become fearless. Exert your power, and you will not be powerless. I want to thank the fabulous Goyal Allred for being here with us today. Thank you for your time. I know it's so valuable. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Rose. And you're a continuing inspiration to other women. I appreciate the, and I'm honored that you would invite me on your show. Thank you. Continued success to you.
Thank you, Gloria. So
All
everyone,
right.
thank you so for listening.
Day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of an Unstoppable Woman. Next week, our topic is The 7 Secrets for Happiness. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to The Power of an Unstoppable Woman. Bye for now.
Thanks again for listening to The Power of an Unstoppable Woman. Please join your host, Dr. Rose Backman, again next Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Find your inner power this week.